And call the meeting of the Citizens Police Review Board to order. I think the first order of business, as usual, is introductions. I guess what we'll do is start way down there with Paul, and then we'll just move around this way, okay?
Paul Dickinson, CPD.
Jamie Thornsberry, board member.
Xavier Scruggs, board member.
Doug Hunt, board member.
Stephen Jeffrey, board member.
Stephanie Coleman, board member.
Rose Whippenmeyer, law department.
And Matt Unrein, assistant city manager.
And our first order of business, again, unsurprisingly, is the approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. I think this is just a voice vote, is it not, Rose? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. And then we have two sets of minutes to approve. People have had an opportunity to look at these, but maybe we'll take them one at a time. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes of the February 14th meeting, open meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Seconded, you got that, Rose?
Oh, I first did.
Denise and Stephanie.
Denise and Stephanie?
You first did?
First and then seconded.
Is that proper?
All right. All right, so it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the open meeting on February 14th. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same. And the draft closed meeting minutes were sent out, and people have had a chance to look at those. And so I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the closed meeting on February 14th.
So moved.
Second.
Stephen and Xavier. Okay, moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that motion passes. All right. An old business, and this is likely to be more discussion than anything. We're going to have to do a little discussion of this because we got to do a little bit of planning for timing and stuff like that. That is, we have been looking forward to a work session on Police Policy 447, which is the body-worn camera section of our policies, and we have not yet been able to settle on a time. I know that Samantha sent out a poll on this.
Everyone but Stephen.
I responded today, so.
Okay. Yeah. She told me earlier today, so we should know tomorrow.
Here is what I'm seeing so far, and Stephen, if this affects your thinking about things, the most popular dates that I could see in terms of people being able to attend were the 4th and the 24th of April. But we had also discussed, I wanted to put three dates up for discussion, but others might come up. The other thing we had talked about, and I think Rose was the one who mentioned this, there would also be the possibility, given the difficulty people have getting to a special session, of having this discussion as on a regular open meeting date. And I think our next open meeting date is April 12th. I have no conviction about this one way or another, about what the best procedure would be. So if anybody on the board has a...
April 12th is a Friday, so I doubt...
The 10th.
10th. No, it's the 10th that we're talking about.
I thought you said the 12th. Wednesday.
Yeah.
But if... Yeah, there would two birds, one stone, basically, what you're saying.
Two birds with one stone. And I think one of the things we want to perhaps consider, I don't know how much discussion there will be of the body-worn camera footage issue. I don't know if that's going to be a major point of discussion and there's going to be a lot of public input or a little public input. It certainly, and I'm not, again, I'm pretty neutral between these options, but one thing that did occur to me is that if we opened up discussion on the April 10th meeting and discovered that we had a lot of people who had a lot to say, we might then go to, say, the 24th or some later date for a more open meeting. And as Stephen says, two birds with one stone. We're here, but if the discussion, on the other hand, runs for an hour or an hour and a half or something like that, it compromises our agenda for next time. So, you know, we're all sort of in a position of guessing. It's a question of, do people have a strong view about how they would guess?
Also, if you put it out there and a bunch of people come and then don't have the opportunity to speak, that might not be the best thing. Yeah. And if we have to go into closed session that night, that could be a little bit.
Yeah, and that hard. Those would be arguments for using one of the other right. days.
I know I cannot do the 24th, but if everyone else can, I understand. And I believe I'm out of town for a work event.
All right, so I may have missed, Stephen, what you were saying. Is the 4th good for people? It's certainly good for me. April 4th? Shall we settle on April 4th then?
Not too soon to get
that's a good question. Can we get word out?
Food and all that?
If we got right on it, I guess we might be able to. Do you have any opinion either?
3 weeks.
I mean, we could send a press release out and then have
3 weeks from tomorrow.
Communications do some stuff about it. One thing to factor in, Samantha's last day is Friday.
Oh, my.
So we will be short-staffed for a while.
Or doodle polls. No more doodle polls.
Well, I will have to do the doodle polls.
Maybe we should fall back. I mean, I don't think this is not necessarily pressing. We could go for the 29th and know that we have time to get word out, but we lose you is the problem, right?
24th.
Or 24th,
you
pardon
lose
me, yeah.
Me, but if everyone else can come, I understand.
Oh, okay, all right.
And I could possibly be back by then, I just don't know at this point.
We do have to have a quorum present, as I recall.
Correct.
But I believe that we can, it appears, have a quorum present. One,
those
two,
seven
three.
Of us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just a question about the, you know, I would almost be more inclined to take a chance on getting the word out and go for the 4th.
It's 3 weeks as of
yeah, it's 3 weeks. It's a reasonable amount of time of notice, and it also gives us a fallback position should this wax into a complex, deep discussion of another date that's on our calendar that could be useful.
So we're thinking April 4th at 6?
Before we go too much further, Denise, can you move your microphone closer to you? You're not being picked up on the video.
Sorry. Okay. Got me now?
Dalton, can you hear that?
Hello?
I don't know. He texted me 3 minutes ago.
I'll bet you're fine. Let's assume you're fine.
Okay. Right.
So yes, he says yes.
Are we, I think we are slipping toward a consensus. We might not even need to vote. That April 4th will be when we try to do the meeting on.
And I don't remember the time we did last time, but do you know that, Rose?
It's listed as 6 to 8.
I think last time we had the meeting start at 6 and we had the food delivered at 5:30.
Okay.
Yeah. We want food for the event.
It'd be nice because we're not going to have time to get home and eat before we come. Neither will the public, I would assume.
Reese was a question mark on that day and I was a no.
Oh. Well, we.
I was looking at. I mean, there's not going to be one where we have everybody.
No, there's not.
The need be.
Why don't you do the 24th then? And again, I may be able to come. I just don't know at this time. But if I'm the only one, then I think you're better off than I'm missing two.
Stephanie, are you actually looking? Is the 24th looking as good as it appears?
Yeah, I was looking at that. Yes, everyone except for Jamie and Matt.
We are way, the consensus keeps waving from place to place, but the consensus is settling now on the 24th. Does that sound good to people? Are we just going to go for that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's go for the 24th then.
Also at 5:30 or at 6?
I think given the way the doodle poll was done, I would suggest that we assume a 6 o'clock meeting and therefore we assume a 5 o'clock food. 5:30 food. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pretty well. Let's go on to new business. The proposed changes to section 2152H. And what I'll try to recap. Now, it was sent as an attachment that the public had access to, and the board has had a chance to look at it. This grows out of a previous discussion, and what we're, to sort of give the simplified version of it, people can look at the original language, where it deals with cases where the board does not agree with the preliminary finding of the chief. After we've heard an appeal, we've sent it, the chief reviews it and disagrees. We can then ask for a review. Under the present guidelines, there's a really tight deadline for the chief to do his review of the or her review of the preliminary finding. It's only a 5-day period. And there's the unfortunate unintended consequence almost that should that 5 days pass without being able to get the review done, then the chief's first preliminary decision stands. So it, in effect, does not result in a review. And so we're trying to do two things here. Let's give the chief more time, if there is a good cause for more time, to say, I can't get this review done until a date certain in the future. Okay, so that's one thing. And we don't have that automatic decision being made because 5 days having passed. And then the other thing that we wanted to make clear is that when we go through this re-evaluation process with the chief, that the chief's finding on the re-evaluation of the case, we need to have notice sent to the complainant, to the officers involved, to the CRPB, and the city manager, so we all know where that plane landed, in effect, after going through all this sort of thing. That was not written into the original language of the procedure. So does that remind the board of where we were on that? And that's all we've done, really, is to, and Rose was largely responsible for coming up with some good language to put that into the final thing so it would actually pass muster and be clear, unlike my explanation I just gave. Is fairly accurate summary, Rose, of what we're doing here?
Correct.
Yeah. Is there any discussion of this? Is there any concerns or that anybody wants to express on this?
Have we thought about extending it to what period?
Well, I think what we did not. We might want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I think that we will find that we have an automatic imposition of how far we can extend it. That is to say, because of the police officer's Bill of Rights, everything has to be taken into account within a certain time frame at any rate. Therefore, the chief can't say, well, I can get around to this 2 months from now. You know, it has to be done on the time schedule that fits with the revised statutes of Missouri because of the policeman's Bill of Rights. So I think de facto, Stephen, the way I'm thinking about it is the extension can't go beyond the period that's created by state statute. So there is an end date in that sense. Is that fairly accurate?
That's accurate, and the ordinances already require the police department to request the extensions necessary to allow 75 days for the board and the city manager appeal processes.
Okay, so that tells us what the actual term on things would be. That sound comfortable to you? Because you were thinking about that, Stephen. Does that sound?
It I guess yes, it does. But it still that would be if it concludes at the end of the time frame, that could be 5 days. That could be 15 days, right?
Yes, it could be.
So it's a moving.
It could be.
It's a variable period.
It's a variable period, but I think one thing that's built in is that. It has to be an extension for good cause, and we're asking for a date to be put in with the request for the extension. So, you know, it's not like just hanging out in limbo. Right?
Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I understand. That entire period is supposed to be from beginning to end a 75-day period. Is that what you said?
Under the Police Officer Bill of Rights, there's a 90-day period with the possibility, if it's not a criminal matter, the possibility of 2 60-day extensions beyond that.
Okay.
So what our ordinance requires the police department to do is they have to request the extensions, if needed, to allow 75 days to be reserved for appeal time to the board and the city manager.
Okay, I see. So if we took that 5-day period that the chief has to turn around and we extended it to 10 or 15 or something, would we then be cutting in to the overall time period allowed? Do you know what I mean?
I think the answer is yes.
Yes, it all counts towards that time period. And it's very difficult to get all of the appeal processes. If the maximum time is used on each step, it's very hard to get it to all fit within that time period in the state statute. But that's what we have to do because that's what the state statute says.
So an imperfect solution, but I think an improvement over where we are now. And we've seen concretely what it would mean to stick to the 5-day period that we presently have. So other comments, questions? Again, the exact wording was in the note that Rose sent out and then the attachment to the minutes. So what we're really approving is the exact wording, but I thought rather than read through all the long thing and think about it, we'd just summarize, if that's okay.
So if we were to do this, obviously that would give more flexibility, more timing, right, in theory. And I guess my question would be to you, Assistant Chief, is 5 days, is that, you know, barely getting it done? Would it be advantageous to have, you know, 5 days, 10 days, 15 days?
It's difficult for Chief. She's very much groupthink, so she wants to get everyone together to look at it. So that's difficult to get all of us together and senior command staff to look at it. That's her concern. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to make arbitrary decisions on her own. She wants to get everyone together to look at it, and it's difficult to do that within 5 days, especially if there's a weekend involved and things like that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Any questions or comments? Do we have a motion to recommend? We're really recommending these changes. Is that not right, Rose?
Right. It'd be a motion to send a report to council to recommend the changes.
I'll entertain a motion. Anybody want to move?
Motion to recommend.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
This might be a voice vote.
That would probably be easier.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we'll let Rose call names. That might make it go better.
Yes.
Jamie?
Aye.
Xavier?
Aye.
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 Okay. We move on to appeal and jurisdictional review procedures. That's a very rather broad category, and in a sense, we were touching on it a little indirectly in our previous one. I think more specifically, one of the things is the next thing on the agenda, which is the role of staff liaisons. And I guess the background that I would give here more or less is to the advantage, I think, of the work of the board. We're going to have an increasing, I'll let Rose explain the new lineup we may have in terms of how the liaisons might be working with the board in the near future.
So I believe I've mentioned this before. Staffing right now is with me, where I'm being the attorney and the staff liaison, handling messages from Dalton, for example, to, you know, move closer to your microphone and all those things. The city manager felt that this board was very important, and he wanted staffing to be moved from the law department into the city manager's office. So sometime over the next year, probably at some point, a new person from an assistant city manager will be the staff liaison. they may bring other people to help them with the various pieces. I will still be the attorney assigned to the board, so I will still be at the meetings to answer legal and procedural questions, but I won't be taking the minutes and doing the doodle polls and all that. That would go with the staff liaison role. Paul is here as the police chief's liaison to the board, and you've seen how they've transitioned that from Julie Ray to Paul. It'll be fairly similar kind of thing going forward. I just don't know yet when that transition's going to occur, and you'll still see me at meetings, and I'll still go into closed session to answer the legal questions and procedural questions and make sure the ordinances are followed, but I will not be the person there also taking the minutes. That would be the staff liaison or their staff.
The rearrangement creates an interesting situation to think about in some ways, because the board, particularly on a night when attendance is about like this, might darn near be outnumbered by liaisons, particularly when we're going into closed session, an interesting and perhaps difficult situation. And so I thought one thing, and I will read out some wording which we can either act on to today or table if people want to think about it further, but about the role of the liaisons in general. And again, this follows up on a discussion we've had before, but here is the wording that I'm working with now. A little different, by the way, Rose, from things that you had seen before, but not much. Liaisons with city agencies and departments may attend closed sessions to answer questions about policies and procedures in their area of expertise. During such sessions, they will not be advocates for any person or any course of action. So what we're actually saying is we really want to rely on the expertise. We want to be able to ask questions and stuff like that. But in effect, somebody is not coming in as a liaison to be an advocate and say, this is what I want you to do in this case. So that's the sense of what I want to do. Again, I'm not unhappy with this wording myself, and we could act on this wording if you wish to. But I could also say we can think about it longer. I'm curious about what other members of the board would like to do.
I think I have a question. I like it. I like the idea. Where does this show up, or how do they, is there like a how-to guide for you guys? Like, where do we put this verbiage? I like the verbiage, but where does it go?
Well, there are two options, basically. You have the ability to adopt bylaws, in which case we would go through the bylaw amendment process in the bylaws. The other way would be if you felt like it was so significant you wanted to have it in the ordinance, then that would be a report to council to recommend that language be added to the ordinance.
And that's something that all you guys would see and review or whatever prior to joining us? Mm-hmm. I just wasn't sure.
If we pass it as bylaw, it would have as much force as it seems. It seems to me it would have as much force as it needs to have. And I'm thinking, Rose, that as we're in a developing situation in terms of, you know, we don't have the people appointed and everything like that. But if we pass it into bylaws, it would give something very concrete for the people who are considering the liaison position or the people who are considering appointing the liaison position, just to understand what's going on. What does it mean to be a liaison?
If you want to do it on your bylaws, we need to put on for next month.
Okay. In that case,
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So is your thought on this, what we have now is a little bit vague and without borders, and this provides a little bit more guidance as it relates to that particular area of concern?
Well, what we have now is essentially negligible. We have, you know, we don't have any statement about what the role of, I think, I can't find anything very significant at all about it. So we haven't defined the role of liaisons. It's just sort of grown up like Topsy, as they say. Mm-hmm.
It would
put some structure and language in place, right, okay. Where there's not been any.
Sense.
So I think, and maybe I'll just go ahead and make this motion, I would propose that we put this on the agenda for next meeting. No.
You don't have to have a motion.
Okay, we'll put it on the agenda for next meeting. Okay.
And if you can send me the link.
I will send you this exact language so you can circulate it. Right. Okay. Good. Wow, we are moving along. The complaint data, this is from a point of view of the members of the public, this item on the agenda might be at first confusing, but Assistant Chief Dickinson has assembled the complaint data from 2023. So we have a listing of all the complaints that were filed with the department or with the city. And I'm going to just put a little summary of what you had to put at the foot of your thing, which is we had 48 external complaints. That is not generated from inside city staff, but instead, including police department, but from the public, so to speak. 39 internal complaints. Six of those were withdrawn. Two of them turned out to be duplicates. And five, nobody could see what the misconduct was, right? So what we had 102 complaints total, 87 of which were investigated. And the practice of the board has been to take the complaints that were filed in the previous year and were not appealed, right? The complainant did not object to the disposition of the case, and in effect to say that by auditing these cases, we can learn something about what's working and what is not working in our policies and procedures, and can make comments and recommendations on the basis of that. Now, it's the nature of audits, of course, that they don't have to be complete. They can be partial. They can be selective. They can be random. There are many, many approaches that can be taken. Those of you who were on the board last year will remember that we just arrived at a decision to look at the three most common complaints and then sort of divide into working groups and have the working groups look at the common complaints. That would be open to us. And I certainly don't object to it. The other thought that occurred to me is if you're auditing, changing the way you audit so that you might find things in one year that you would have missed by the method you were doing in the previous year is not a bad thing. If you're not going to audit all of them, maybe you come up with another method for doing audits. I'm going to make only, and I think because this is going to involve sometimes details of what the complaints were, which I think really belongs to closed session. We might be getting into that. We'll probably get into a more detailed discussion in closed session. But I was going to suggest one thing that we could discuss in open session that might help us focus. When I saw the summary saying that there were 48 external and 39 internal complaints, one thing that occurred to me is we could focus this year on the external complaints. That is, we are a Citizens Police Review Board. If we want to focus particularly this year on the complaints that were originated with citizens outside the department and the city, that might not be a bad thing to do. That leaves us with 48. And we can perhaps, when we get into closed session, we can talk about whether we want to narrow down and divide out or find a way to do responsible audits. Audits, I will say, for the members of the public, can be quite time-consuming because they we are blessedly provided with all the body camera footage, all the records of the police department, so we can look at what actually was going on when we do an audit. So a responsible audit on a case that seems perhaps problematic to us can be quite time-consuming. So it's going to be a question not of, we'll do this week, and it'll be done. But it's likely to be a process that takes us several meetings before we get done with all the audits.
Yeah, I had a comment on this. So last year when we did this, the hardest part for us was trying to figure out what were the main complaints that were coming in. And I went through and counted every single one of these and put them in order and all that. This spreadsheet should be able to do that for us. But Julie wasn't able to do that last year. It said that it messed up something to be able to sort. Is there a way that it can be done so it can be sorted by complaint?
It's her allegation?
Yeah.
Allegation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can get that for you.
Okay, great. That'd be great.
I will do my best to get that for you.
That would be useful, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're on the top. Would you like so do you want the top three, or would you?
If you could just take this entire spreadsheet and sort it, and then we could look at which ones are the main issues, and then we can kind of discuss in closed session what we want to do with it.
So do you just want the external ones, or do you want all of them?
Why don't, Paul, it'd be easier for you perhaps and useful in case we change our mind about this to go ahead and do all of them.
Okay.
So we'll continue to have the spreadsheet that is in order received, but we'll also be able to look at a spreadsheet by most common.
Yes. Okay. That would be great.
That would be useful. Yeah.
And that spreadsheet is probably old, like we're going to get an updated one with new.
Well, no, this terminates at the end of December 2023.
Okay.
Right. So we're looking at last year's complaints at this point. We're auditing last year's complaints.
Right. So. Do you want to discuss how we were going to analyze this now, or do we want
to? Well, I'm a little concerned. We're getting to the edge of what belongs perhaps in closed session, because if we're sitting there saying, well, we've got X complaints, and I really am curious about this one and this one and this one, I feel like we might be getting into a level of detail that might be better done in closed session. You're saying, no, don't do that, right?
No, I'm saying if you want to talk about what the top allegations are, that, and if you're not putting out any
biographic information, I would agree with.
Yeah. But we wouldn't have that information. I mean, we could, but it would be time-consuming to get that right now.
That's information we've released in the past. And to be honest, the way that we've released this information to you, I don't like.
Mm.
I think it's not user-friendly.
No, it's certainly not.
Correct.
It's the way it's been done in the past 4 or 5 years. I don't like it. It's not very good for you. It's not very good for the citizens. I've had sit-down discussions with the chief. She doesn't like it. Next year, we will definitely go back to how we used to do it, where it's more of a narrative report, and that's what we're going to start doing, because it's a better product to put out. It's more transparent.
Good, thank you.
There's a lot that day, I think.
Yeah, there was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, perhaps we could go a little further in the question of let's see if there's agreement on let's focus on external complaints as our likely audit for the year. We're then talking about 48. I think we could be looking at the most common complaints that are external, for instance, and going with that if people are comfortable with that as a way of doing it.
I agree with that.
I am comfortable.
Can we do that then?
Well, all right. I would, yeah.
Good. And pertinent to your question, Paul, I don't know, when we see your spreadsheet, we may discover, well, let's do the top four instead of the top three. I don't think we commit until we see how that comes
out.
Right,
yeah, I think, yeah. It's important to see what we've got.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty clear. Mm-hmm. We'll count on that being our procedure then. All right.
Can I circle back real quick? I'm so sorry to the language earlier.
Yeah.
I found in this board and commission member guide that there is a whole page about the staff and how they assist us. So it may be also a secondary spot to put it. I think this is more for us, but it might be good to have some of that language also in that, which hasn't been updated since 2017.
That guide is for all boards and commissions.
I see. But wouldn't they all have the same role? Or I guess not. No.
No.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
Nope, that's okay.
Okay. So productive outreach and direction of outreach efforts. Again, a little history first. We decided at our last board meeting that we wouldn't follow the old pattern of having an outreach committee. Mm-hmm. That's one thing we decided. And the other thing that we discussed was that it might not be the most productive use of our time or the best way to reach the public to show up at events. And we were thinking particularly about the Earth Day event and do a booth. That's a pretty random way of connecting with the public. And actually, I think maybe Stephanie, let's remember what you're doing. Let's repeat what your next step is in terms of meeting with the public. Because that might be a guiding light for us about where we're going, right?
What is my next step?
No.
You got a group of the school stuff.
With the schools, I do presentations for the forensics classes, or any teacher that asks me to, come and discuss anything. I go and do presentations every year.
And so I mean, that seemed like one natural audience, so to speak. And one of the things, I don't know if we get anywhere on this tonight, but I think we should all begin to think about whether there are other natural venues or audiences where we might be going out and doing a much more direct approach and talking to people who have a reason to be interested in this. And we're also working on a brochure at this point that could be handed out on such occasions and be available elsewhere as well.
And I think a member of the public had brought up last time that they were going to have more of a bigger event with all of the different boards and commissions, and so that may be somewhere where we have a presence as well and get those brochures out. And I don't know when the date was for that or if there is one yet, but
that would be great, I think.
Yeah, that could be another.
I did ask about that, and I was told that it was just departments at the city and that they weren't going to have boards and commissions individually table. They would have information at the city clerk's booth about how to apply and what are the boards and commissions and that sort of thing, but they weren't going to.
Who would have to consider that? City council? Like, can we make a recommendation to think about doing something with boards and commissions to get information out to the public on them, or?
But I think the event is being planned by the city manager's office.
I mean, could we put a consideration in to do the same type of event but for the boards and commissions? Is that a lot? I don't know.
I mean, you can, and you can also talk to council people about doing something like that.
How many boards and commissions are there?
Over 40. And that's why I think that's why it's so hard to start it.
Yeah. On the other hand, I think there are openings on several of them. So, I mean, the city considering some sort of recruiting thing might not be a bad thing.
We can keep talking and thinking about it, but it might. If we're not there, then if we're not going to be at the other one, then maybe there's an idea there to create a new
maybe
event.
I think we ought to keep this alive as a discussion in the city, but all of us now are venue scouts. Let's agree to that. And when we're talking to people and we look for opportunities to actually go out and talk about what we're doing to people who have an inherent interest as opposed to happen to be at an event would be very good.
And we're already doing this, but I think also the policy work sessions, that we're planning, those are great venues too. And I think that's where I learned a whole lot in talking with citizens and, you know, learning what they would like to put in policy. So I think that's also important for us to continue.
That's great. And we're at work on that brochure, which should be ready. So when we have our policy discussion, we can.
And when we're saying work with the brochure, I mean, we're trying to get like just a model, and then we as a board can look at it and say what we like, what we need fixed. You know, it's not something that will be finished.
Yeah, that's right. It won't be finished.
Yeah.
But, okay.
If I may, I had heard that the Youth Advisory Council had for a while been planning a youth summit where they were talking about having board and commission tables. So I can follow up on that. And if you'd like, and if you can reach consensus on this, Doug could send a letter to the city manager requesting what you all just talked about.
That sounds excellent. Youth sounds like a good part of it, too. Yeah, please, Rose, do reach out on that. Anything else on the outreach efforts, or should we move on to budget? People have had a chance to look at the fiscal year 2025 budget. And what we've done, in effect, is reprint. Assume that we're doing, because we don't know what other assumption to make, perhaps, that we have the budget with the same amounts that have been put in the budget before. I asked Rose a couple of questions about this and about how locked in we were if we adopt the budget as it stands. And yes?
You won't exactly adopt the budget as it stands. This would be your fiscal 2024 budget. If you want the same dollar amounts, then we just tell the city clerk you want the same dollar amounts.
Okay.
If you want more than this,
right,
then we have to provide her right with how much more and a justification for that.
Right. So it's really a question of whether we want to ask for more money. In the absence of a concrete reason to ask for more money, it seems a little odd to do so.
Did we spend all our money from last year?
You did not spend all the money. I don't have the numbers with me.
Does our surplus
report
roll over?
No.
Okay.
Each year.
Of course not.
Where does it go?
It goes back into the general fund to then be rebudgeted.
But I think one thing that did grow out of the discussion that I had with Rose is that if this is our budget for 2025 and we are doing have reason for an internal reallocation, that's not a big deal. If we decide we need to spend more on
printing versus travel
or something like that, it's a fairly simple procedure to get that done. So
okay, so these don't have to be like specific numbers. If we have a total amount, we can change what's used on what.
Fiscal year 2024.
Right.
So for fiscal year 2025. If you wanted the same dollar amount, but you wanted them in different categories, I need to know that tonight so I can give that to the city clerk, who can then give it to the finance department.
It would be nice to know what we spent.
Right.
I had asked for a report of that, but I had not received it.
Because I feel like if we're doing more of these meetings where we're doing
food,
we need more food
expense.
And then if we're going to print more brochures, if we decide that could change everything too.
It'd be nice to know if we had $20,000 left or $2,000
right
left.
Generally speaking, I mean, most of your money has over time shifted into travel and training for sending people to the NACOL conference and then covering the NACOL membership and the webinars. I think the last time maybe two people went, and so I'm sure there's quite a bit in travel and training. The contractual services, while it could be used for interpretation services, that is largely encumbered to the mediation services contract. But rarely is any of that used because hardly anybody ever gets referred to mediation. And even when there's a referral, usually there's no mediation that actually occurs. So you have quite a bit of money there. You'll usually spend most of your food budget, but again, it's easy to, if we're running low and we need to have another event with food, it's easy to shift the money from the other categories to cover the food costs. That is true. We are only 5 months into the fiscal year. We also, printing in the past, there might have been initially the first time where they used up all their printing, but usually you do fairly small batches of brochures and find that most people don't want paper these days. So I think you're going to be fine in that context. And in the past, if you start, and even, you know, the procedure is if you start running low of funds and you need more money for something, then you would do a report to council, and then council could look at that and say, okay, we agree we're going to allocate this amount more to, or appropriate this amount more to the board for this purpose. That was usually done in the past to pay for travel and training. But it could just as well be for other things. But for the most part, I mean, unless you're spending amount on food or you come up with a new program, that you're probably going to be fine with your amount that we currently have this year for next year. And then you can start thinking about, if you're going to start a new program, you then would start thinking about, so at the beginning of January, February, March meetings, we would firm up what that budget was for that program, and we would submit that in the request for the following fiscal year's budget.
Okay. So I'm a little confused because Stephanie asked if it was easy to shift the money, but then I think you said you needed different numbers tonight, but then you said it's easy to shift the money. So it's
once it's established for a fiscal year, and if you're, so like this year, fiscal year 2024, you have $300 in your food budget. Let's say you spend $250 on one event for food, and you want to have another event where you think you're going to spend $250.
Yeah.
If you have a positive amount in any of those other categories,
automatically,
we can easily transfer it because your budget is $38,350. Okay. Does that make sense? It's the only time it's a little bit trickier is if you're mid-fiscal year and you want money added to your budget and you're completely out of money.
From the total, from the big pot, not the little
ones. Because most of the rest of the city budget is already assigned for that fiscal year.
So it's easy to shift what we already have, not necessarily easy to ask for more.
Right, and so this is the time of year where we ask for more if we want to for next fiscal year, 2025.
My thought is that we try to do these events quarterly, and if we're doing that, that's probably $1,000 in food without knowing what we spent on the first one. It's hard to say, but I feel like we're going to spend more than $300 on food, and maybe it's just a non-issue, but should that be different? If I know we've only done one of those sessions, but I feel like we're trying to do them maybe quarterly or twice a year.
Get more people to come and be involved.
Yeah. I don't think 300 is going to cover that, and I don't know if it's a big deal or not. But
well, as long as we can move it around, right. Does it really matter? We don't have to decide. We can just decide we'll take this money and we'll move it around as we see fit, right?
What I would recommend is if you think you're going to do four events and you think $1,000 for food, that we should either take $1,000 out of contractual services and, or actually $700 because we have $300 in food already. Take $700 out of contractual service or travel and training and move it to food.
And I just made those numbers up because I don't know what we spent, so it's hard to say.
Right.
Do you think that's about what we spent? I mean,
Samantha and Penny take care of all that. So I can. How about this? How about I check to see how much we spent last time, times that by four events.
Change it. I think that would be fine.
Sounds good.
Do you have a preference as to whether you want it to come out of travel and training or contractual services.
If we don't use it, that's the one.
Well, I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to know what we spent on the year before so we knew what to pull from, but
I don't think you spent anything on the miscellaneous contractual.
Well, we had that speaker. I know they had that speaker before I was on here, but I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, we did have a speaker.
There was a lady that was speaking, but via Zoom or something, on some of the programs they had done in their city. It was before I was a member, but I was here and I watched it. And I didn't know if that is a contractual service or if that was just like a free...
Volunteered.
Okay.
Given that we're going to have actual flexibility within our bottom line, so to speak, why don't we just go for that simple change to increase
I'm fine with that.
And take it out of contractual services.
Good.
Okay, good. All right, we are, believe it or not, at items for next month's agenda. What do we have pending?
Would maybe reviewing a brochure by then be possible?
Yes, we should have that by, she thinks that we'll have it soon, so.
That could be on, I would think.
Yeah, so the brochure and my aging brain is beginning to fog, but I believe we said that the question of changing the role of staff liaisons thing needed to be pushed off for a month, so that will be on the next month's agenda.
As far as outreach goes, I mean, it's going to be April, so do we need to start talking about like the Juneteenth parade? Are we to be a part of that, make a discussion?
That on next month as
let's,
well.
Let's put it on for discussion.
Because we may have human rights by then, we think, maybe.
We should have some ideas.
That's a very good point. Yeah, and in terms of events that we might actually want to participate in, that seems high on the category.
We'll need to plan for the upcoming work session probably in April.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's right, yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Over what I have thus far?
Yes, please.
Okay, under old business, planning for work session on police policy 447, the update on the recommended change to the ordinance, new business, items for next month's agenda, bylaw amendment related to staff liaisons, brochure review, Juneteenth event, and then we have reports, Human Rights Commission, positive connections, training, ride-alongs, and outreach.
And would it be possible that we have, and maybe you said this, Rose, the updated spreadsheet to review how we want to handle that? Is that a discussion for closed session or
I will have it on both so that you okay. can do kind of like tonight where you can Sounds do good. What you can do in open session and open session and then okay. the more particular things in closed session.
I feel like if we have more people by then maybe too, it might be nice to then plan that together.
That seems like a good list. Does anybody see anything that's missing from it? We move on to what we would ordinarily have, Human Rights Commission report, but I don't believe we will be having one this evening because we don't yet, at any rate, have a representative from the Human Rights Commission. Positive connections, outreach, training, ride-alongs. I will say a couple, and others may as well, and that they're both related. That is, I'm because I've been working with the various homeless services that are offered out of Wilkes Boulevard. I have noticed the appearance of the homeless outreach team in the evenings while Loaves and Fishes is serving, and they have been sitting very discreetly in one corner of the parking lot at a time when they're available to and have other things to do. They're probably doing phone calls and other things that they need to be doing while they're in the car. I think that that's had a quieting effect on some pretty lively behavior that we occasionally see outside while people are outside waiting for their meal. And more importantly, from my point of view, I saw the officers intervene very usefully in what could have developed into a domestic dispute that could have been headed toward domestic violence, that they found a way to talk to the people and just quiet it down. So I wanted to say that. I'm embarrassed to say that I don't know the name of the two officers who are on that homeless outreach team, but they were doing a fine job. Do you happen to remember who the officers on the homeless outreach team are? What they're
not officially launched yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So they're not. But at any rate, I did want to report on that, and also to say that the beat officer who works there, Officer Moselle, did a very similar job of intervening in what was becoming a domestic dispute that could have been headed toward domestic violence, and was working very hard to make sure that it didn't do so. So I felt very good about those connections. But any others?
Reese had emailed that he attended a community conversation hosted by the Commission on Human Rights on March 9th. He said it was at the public library in the Friends Room and had fairly good attendance with a mix of people from the community. DeAndre Thompson served as moderator for the discussion, which really just centered around how people are experiencing or witnessing discrimination in our community. There was a big focus on things that perhaps aren't intentionally discriminatory, at least on their face, but present real barriers for access for all different kinds of communities. Lots of conversation about sidewalks and folks in the disability community. Lots of talk about public transportation and making Columbia more accessible to people who can't afford to or who choose not to own a car. Lots of conversation about the locations of voting centers, but most of the conversation kept coming back to how we can do better at making sure the people who are topics of policy conversations, especially people in minority or marginalized communities, are one, aware that they can participate in these conversations with civic leaders at these forums, and two, having their perspectives meaningfully included instead of represented secondhand by advocates. He says, I think, and this is a direct quote, I think all worthwhile conversations, and I was glad to have been informed of the event by the community members who attend our meetings.
Any others? If not, then I think we're ready to move on to general comments by the public and members of the board and staff. And I'll remind you that individual members of the public are allowed 3 minutes to address the board. Representatives of a group will be allowed 5 minutes to address the board. We were ready to begin. Any members of the public want to address the board?
Thank you.
I introduce myself again. I'm Dr. Murdat Futagia, and this is my second opportunity to speak. I presented the issues that I received for a response. I submitted the issues. This was the second time in the last year and a half to CPRB, and this time I received a notice, the response from CPD Assistant Chief Mr. Paul Dickinson. And I just saw the name there. I guess this is the gentleman here. I met the gentleman for the first time. There were a number of issues there that I would like to go and discuss it, but I can't do that in 3 minutes. And right before we started this evening, Ms. Webmeyer mentioned that I think I'm supposed to be in a closed session or something, I believe, am I right?
You should look at the email.
Okay, well, I didn't get the email. That's why I was asking you, because I wasn't sure. But at any rate, I responded and I submitted my response to Assistant Chief Dickinson's remarks, and I submitted it to City Clerk. Hopefully she would have given it to all of you ladies and gents. And bottom line, I recapitulated things there in the one sheet that I presented to you. I have numerous proof and evidence in video form, in audio recordings, in official written material, and witnesses and so on, in support of the 13 pages that I submitted to the board. Because of the conflict of interest that's stated by CPD, because there are some active and inactive officers are involved in some of the cases, and it was recommended by Detective Chad Reynolds, he was appointed for special cases and so forth, that in a case like this, the cases should be referred to Missouri Highway Patrol for impartial investigation to all of these issues there. The most important of them all is that
30 seconds.
Right. There's no issue that I was subjected to series of crimes there, and they're all documented and they're all ready there. But the most important part of it is that it needs to be impartially investigated, because police department stopped. They could not continue an investigation to find the culprits and to do justice for my position in that matter. That's my only request, is that based on the protocol with CPD and the City of Columbia and the State of Missouri, that my case is there, and because CPD could not continue to finish the investigation, the cases should be referred to Missouri Highway Patrol for impartial investigation. City of Columbia, CPD has already done that within the last year, every year, but on more serious things, that somebody got killed or got beat up and so on and so forth there. And I'm not dead yet, I'm not killed, and I wasn't beat up, but, for justice to be served. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other comments?
Chris Jones, Second Ward. Glad Reese was able to attend the Human Rights Commission listening session. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm with the Hold Como Accountable. I'm glad that Reese was able to attend the Human Rights Commission's group. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend last minute this past weekend, but I heard nothing but positive remarks that came out of it. I would highly recommend that if you guys are looking to do something that is similar, or, you know, like you're wanting to get away from like to going to events, maybe do something similar. This was held in conjunction with the library. The library had a liaison there. They used library rooms. Library helped promote it, different things like that. Something that's out of City Hall. City Hall's not actually accessible to a lot of people. And so if you could do a listening session, that way maybe you could find out what the community away from City Hall actually finds that they need to, like what policies they think need to be changed. That might actually work for that. Something that you had talked about earlier today was, I don't envy you guys going over the 80 some odd complaints that were submitted last year, but you guys had said something about potentially focusing on community complaints and not officer complaints, ones that were generated by officers. I'm going to suggest you not do that 100%. You know, maybe community complaints, look at the top three, officer complaints, look at the top one, because we are actually wanting, I get accused a lot of being anti-police. I'm not actually anti-police. I'm anti-bad police officers. And unfortunately, we have numerous bad police officers. We want the police officers to be weeding out their own bad apples. We want them to be able to say, hey, this person's doing something wrong. Hey, this person said something racist. Hey, this person pulled a gun when they shouldn't have. There's numerous things in the that hit the news last year that luckily cameras were rolling. Otherwise, we would have never known about them. But all of those were generated by the community, and we want the police department actually to be doing that themselves. I am very glad that there were 40-some-odd officer complaints, but there should have been triple that amount. Triple. I mean, even if they, you know, were duplicate of what the community did, there should have been more. So I would highly recommend that you look at that. That way the police officers, the ones who will report it, because not all of them will report. We know this. I mean, just look at in your jobs. You know that you're going to face retaliation. Sometimes I faced retaliation when I reported against a coworker for being racist. And I faced retaliation for that. But we want it to be so normalized that people can go to them that they feel like that they can. So I would highly recommend that you also look at why the police officers are filing these complaints, because we want to encourage that. Tonight you're going to hear three appeals.
1 minute.
I don't envy your job. I'm sure that you guys did a lot of work, and it's a thankless job. But do know that the community does find this important work, because the community does need to feel like they're heard. Sometimes you might not agree with what the community says. Sometimes you might agree with what the police officers, what Jill Schlute has said, but people need to feel like they were heard, and that is what you're here for, and we do thank you for putting in this volunteer work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Comments from the public? Comments from members of the board? Or the staff? And I think I understand that I'm to read out some of this, so I would entertain a motion then to go into closed session to discuss records which are protected from disclosure by law, section 610.021, paren 14, and 590.502, RISMO.
I'll make a motion.
So moved?
Second.
Moved and seconded. And I believe this is a voice vote, or pardon me, a
roll call
vote, rather.
And Stephen, you seconded?
Yes.
Motion to go into closed session.
Oh, aye.
Jamie? Yes,
no. Aye.
Xavier?
Aye.
Doug?
Aye.
Stephen?
Aye.
Stephanie?
Aye.
We are adjourned and move into closed session.